And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11 is where we're going to spend our next few moments. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues or languages, to another, interpretation of tongues or languages, and one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. I want you to look at the person that you're sitting next to and tell them my sermon title for today. Tell them, neighbor, I want you to know one thing. I was made for this. I want you to find somebody else across the room, the second option, and tell them, neighbor, I want you to know one thing. I was made for this. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence and power. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have already done in this place, this sacred space of worship. I pray, God, that you would help us to see the word that you want us to receive today. Help us to be free. Help us to walk in power. Help us to walk in victory, the victory that you have already given us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for who you are, for all you have done in Jesus' name. And every person full of power said amen. Amen. I was made for this. Last week, we talked about how the fruit of the Spirit is encompassing of different attributes. And if you'll notice, the fruit of the Spirit really can be boiled down to one word that God wants us to be or wants to create in our lives, and that is character. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, if you missed that, go listen to it from last week, has everything to do with the character of a follower of Jesus. That they are loving, that they are filled with joy, that there's peace, that there's patience, that there's kindness, that there's goodness, that there's faithfulness, that there's gentleness, that there is self-control. Today I want to look at not the character, because we talked about that last week, but today I want to specifically have us look at the functions of the Spirit. This has to do more so with your abilities. Now, the reason why this is important, these 2 weeks that we are in, last week was very important. If you noticed that last week I talked about character, today I'm now talking about abilities, or if you will, competency, and that was intentional, because character must always come before competency. Who you are is always more important than what you do. Let me say it like this. If your competency outpaces your character, you are headed for a catastrophe. And what the world does a great job at doing is focusing more on competency, what you do, what you produce, than on character. This is why you can have people in such influential positions who have a lot of ability and a lot of skill, but their character is poor. God says, I am concerned about your character and your competency, but character must always come before competency. Jesus is more concerned about who you are more than he is what you do. Because if who you are is in line, then what you do will follow suit. And if you notice all throughout the scripture, there's more emphasis not on ability, but on character. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul is giving an outline of what a pastor or elder or bishop, they all kind of mean the same thing, but when he's given an outline of the qualifications of that person, there's only one attribute that has to deal with skill. And out of the 13, almost 14 attributes that he mentions of a pastor, the rest of them have to do with character. Because God is more concerned about character than he is about competency. However, in addition to that, though that is true, God is also concerned about what you and I do and how you and I function. What you do is important, which is why God gives you and I the tools and the abilities to be able to carry out the things that he wants us to do. Scripture, you'll see that there's a mention of these different types of gifts that God wants us to experience. There's different gifts in Scripture that you see mentioned. One of the biggest gifts that God first wants us all to experience, because I want you to understand that God is a giver. And all throughout Scripture, you constantly see him giving. God is a giver. You can't be a part of the family of God and not be a giver. I can't claim to be a follower of Jesus and not be a giver in every capacity in my life. But the first gift that God wants us to experience, if you're taking notes, is this gift of eternal life. This gift of eternal life, meaning that he wants us to be in an everlasting relationship with him. And it is a gift. It is not something that you earn. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." Notice next what it says, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." God wants us to experience this gift of eternal life, this relationship with God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says this, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." In other words, Paul is saying, you can earn the gift of eternal life. It is something that you receive. This is why in Scripture you'll see that salvation is oftentimes referred to as an inheritance. And if you know anything about an inheritance, especially in biblical times, the only way you can get an inheritance was through somebody dying. Well, how do we get the inheritance of salvation? I'm glad you asked. Through the death of Jesus Christ and through his resurrection. And now through his death and resurrection, now I receive this inheritance called eternal life by placing my faith in what he did for me on the cross. Now I am in a right relationship with God. And thanks be unto God that your relationship with him has nothing to do with what you do for him, because if so, you and I would not be in a relationship with him. Thanks be unto God that it is a gift from God. God says, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to do it for you anyway because I love you. I thought I would get a few more amens right there. Maybe some of us are just so stuck up and you think that the only reason you're in a relationship with God is because of the things that you've done. And God's like, hold on, no, wait a minute, let's get this, let's fact check your life. Think about all the things that you have done that have been grimy, trifling, ugly, nasty, things that you haven't even told anybody about, but yet I still loved you and yet I still gave you this gift of eternal life. That is enough reason right there to give God glory. He wants us to experience the gift of eternal life. Some of us may be here today and you've never experienced the gift of eternal life. God says, I want to offer that to you today. But then there's another gift that God also mentions in Scripture, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, 1, verses 4 through 5, Jesus says these words before he would ascend to heaven to be with the Father. It says, once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you. Watch what he says, the gift that he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Talked about how God sends his Holy Spirit, that the minute you and I say yes to Jesus, now we are sealed in Christ. How? Through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, that you received the Spirit when you believed the gospel. God wants us to experience intimacy with him, and the way that happens is through his presence being the Holy Spirit. But then there's another type of gifts that we're going to talk about for these next few moments. And that is what the Bible calls spiritual gifts. This has to do with your abilities. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul helps us to see that the Holy Spirit of God, as we're in this series, Power, which is talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God gives out these things, these abilities, these functions called spiritual gifts. Here's what he says in verses 4 through 6 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities. Watch what it says next. But the same God produces each gift in each person. What is Paul helping us understand? Every Christian, every person who has placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has endowed you with a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts. He has given you these incredible abilities that he wants to make an impact through. Every single person who calls themselves a believer, every single person who has bowed their knee to Jesus and has asked Jesus to come into their life, has been sealed with the Holy Spirit, you have instantly been the recipient of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents. They are not natural abilities. They are not something passed down genetically. The only way that you can receive a spiritual gift unlike a natural talents can be passed down through birth. Spiritual gifts only get passed down through spiritual rebirth. This is why the Bible says you must be born again. How do I get born again? By putting my faith and trust in Jesus. And when you are born again, now he gives you these attributes. He says, now you got my genes. And now you begin to function like me. Now you will begin to do things like me. I like what Pastor Chris Hodges says about spiritual gifts. He says a spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability that God gives to each of his children so that together we can advance his purposes in this world. It is a supernatural ability. Some of y'all have come in here today and don't even recognize the supernatural ability that you have in your life right now. Y'all got so much power in here, and the enemy, the one thing he wants to do, because he know he can't destroy you, because he does not have the power to take life, the one thing he wants to get you to do is to be distracted so that you don't focus on what God has given you, but that you will begin to focus on what you feel like is not present in your life. God says, I've endowed you with spiritual gifts. I've endowed you with supernatural abilities. And when I was prepping for this message this week, as I was thinking about spiritual gifts, and I was thinking like, Lord, how can I help our people understand these supernatural gifts and these supernatural abilities and these spiritual gifts? How can I communicate that? And I feel like God was like, hey, look at the thing that is most popular right now in our world. You know what it is? Superheroes. Avengers, Justice League. We are obsessed with superheroes. And the thing that I love about superheroes, you know, the Avengers just went and broke like all the records in human history just now. What's amazing about superheroes is that they all have these incredible abilities, right? And so here, you know, there's so many different superheroes, but I figured I would just kind of narrow them down to the ones that are like the most popular right now, the ones that everybody's talking about. And so I love these superheroes right here. You got Incredible Hulk in here. Some of you guys are Hulk fans. And you got, you know, the mighty Thor, the God of Thunder. Man, that dude is for real. Love him. Then you got Ant-Man. Dude can just shrink down to, you know, like microscopic size because of his suit. Then you got Spider-Man. Most of us know his story. And then you got Hawkeye. Some of you guys are like, he's not a superhero. He doesn't have superhuman abilities. That, let me tell you something. Hawkeye will snipe you from 1,000 feet away. You didn't even know what hit you. That's an ability. And then you got the King T'Challa right there, Wakanda forever. Vibranium suits. And I mean, he got so much swag to him. You got Iron Man, Tony Stark, right? My guy right there. Then you got Cap in the background. That dude right there is for real. But I'm going to tell you the baddest of them all is that girl right there in the middle. That's just the right Captain Marvel. Now, by now, listen, Avengers Endgame has been out for 2 months now. So if you ain't seen that, that's on you. That's on you. That ain't my fault. That ain't my fault. This girl right here took down a whole ship that had been plaguing like movies like for the past 8 years. Yo, what's that noise? And all of a sudden she just comes out of nowhere and drops the whole ship and everybody's like, yo. Thanos is like, that's my ship, bro. How she do that? That's a bad girl right there. But you know the thing that they all have in common? They all know what it is that they do well. They all have amazing abilities. You don't see T'Challa trying to be Iron Man. You don't see Hulk trying to be Ant-Man. You imagine Hulk shrinking down. You don't see Captain America trying to be Spider-Man. They all have unique abilities. And the power of them all is not that individualistically they have these abilities, but the power is when they all collectively come together and use their abilities for the same purpose, saving the world. I want you to understand something, Christian, that God has given you special and supernatural abilities. He has given you these incredible abilities. Superheroes, we call them. We say that they have super human abilities, but followers of Jesus have supernatural abilities. Why? Because you have the same spirit living on the inside of you that raised Jesus from the grave. And that same spirit now gives you these different abilities and these different functions called spiritual gifts to be able to advance the cause of Christ and to be able to change lives throughout the whole entire world. God has placed you here for a purpose. You were made for this. You have abilities. Here's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. In other words, God wants to do something through your life. There's something powerful that God has placed you on this earth to do. And he's given you spiritual gifts to be able to do it. But here, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we talk about spiritual gifts. Here's the dilemma. Many of us don't know what our spiritual gifts are. Could you imagine, you know, can you remember when Spider-Man, he didn't really know his abilities, and Tony Stark didn't really know what he was capable of, and you hit this identity crisis because when you don't know who you are and what you're supposed to do, you end up attaching yourself to all types of things and doing all types of things because you have no clarity on what you're actually called to do. So you end up settling for things that you should not be settling for. The tension that we live in is we don't know what we're supposed to do. And what Paul is helping us understand here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that when it comes to spiritual gifts, here's what he wants us to do. Here's our first point. He wants us to discover the gifts that God has given us. It is time for you to go on a journey to discover the gifts that God has given you. Verse 1, he says this. He says, concerning spiritual gifts, watch what he says. Brothers and sisters, I don't or do not want you to be unaware. The original language, that word unaware, something that we seem think is so simple, is what is unaware? It doesn't mean anything. No, no, no. In the original Greek language, it means to be ignorant of. It means to have no knowledge of. And what was happening is, as he's writing this letter to believers in Corinth, there was an ignorance about spiritual gifts and what their purpose was. The Corinthian believers had this confusion about their gifts, and they ultimately had confusion about what their purpose was. So Paul goes through great detail, not just here in chapter 12, but in chapter 13 and even in chapter 14. He spends almost three chapters speaking about spiritual gifts, helping them understand what they are, helping them understand what their gifts are, helping them understand what the purpose of the gifts are. Why is this so important? Because part of you discovering your identity is discovering your gifts. If you don't know what God has called you to do, it is going to be very difficult for you to understand who he's called you to be. And what he wants us to go down is this journey where we discover our gifts, but our issue is we don't know them. We don't know it. Knowing your spiritual gifts is vital because they speak to what God wants to do through your life. And so here's what happens. Because we don't know what we're gifted with and because we don't know what we're supposed to do, we will spend most of our lives doing things that make no sense. We will invest time and money and energy. We'll make decisions around things that we think look good or things that we should be doing only to come to realize that it was not something that we were ever meant to do in the first place. By a show of hands, how many of you guys have ever done that before, myself included? God says today, I want you to go down a path where you begin to discover your gifts. Why? Because when you don't know who you are or who you've been made to be or what you've been born to do, you're willing to be anyone and do anything. And the problem that the Corinthian church had was they didn't have a clarity, not just on who they were supposed to be, but on what they were supposed to do. And because they did not have a clarity on that, they ended up going back to some old practices. Hence why Paul says here, you remember how you used to be dragged away by pagan rituals, by false deities, by false gods, because you had no clarity on who you were and what you were supposed to be doing. So what Paul is doing here is he says, let me sit you down and give you a crash course on what gifts are, how God has given them to you, and what you're supposed to be doing. Because you were made for something much bigger than what you think you are. You've been endowed with supernatural abilities. The question I'm going to ask you today is this. Do you know your spiritual gifts? Do you know what they are? Some of us are like, no, I don't. How do I discover my gifts? Here's a basic way to begin to discover your gifts. Ask God to show you what your gifts are. I know that seems like very simple and it's not deep, but it's the truth. Why not go to the one who gave you the gifts in the first place? God, would you show me how you have gifted me? What's the practical way that you can take to begin to discover your gifts? We do something here at our church called the Growth Track. And on step three of the Growth Track, we do it every third Sunday. We begin to talk about the different spiritual gifts. And we help you discover on site what your gifts may be. Many of us have never taken what we call a spiritual gift assessment, where you could begin to probe the different areas of your life to begin to discover what the gifts are that God has given you. You need to know the gifts that God has given you. God has made you in a unique way to do something great. And Paul, in verses 8 through 11, now kind of begins to go in a long description of a different variety of gifts. Notice what he says. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performance of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active. All these distributing to each person. Everybody say each person, which means you have a gift. You and I have at least one spiritual gift. I would be willing to bet you have more than that. But every single person has one. But notice what Paul is doing here. He's giving a description of these different gifts, and we don't have time to go through them all. I'm trying to just help us understand that you've been gifted and that we want to take you along the journey to begin to discover them. But notice here, the point that Paul is making is that everyone has a gift. And not only that everyone has a gift or gifts, but that they are also different from person to person. Can y'all bring the superhero picture back up? Could you imagine if this whole screen was just nothing but Spider-Man? Spider-Man can't defeat Thanos on his own. So we need other people who specialize in other things to be able to accomplish this grand purpose. And every single person on this screen is uniquely gifted to defeat that little purple dude that's hanging out in the shadows. Every single person matters to God. God has placed his spiritual DNA and blueprint in each and every one of us who have called ourselves and who have trusted in Jesus for our salvation. He has given you a supernatural ability, and it is different from the person that is sitting next to you right now. It is not the same. This is why he goes through great length to describe different gifts. If everybody had the same gift, he would just mention that. But he says each and every person has different gifts. Not everybody has the same gift. No one person has the same gift. Matter of fact, I'll say this. There's only probably one gift or one big gift that all of us have that are followers of Christ. You know what that is? The gift of eternal life. That's what we all share. But when we get to the specifics, God shows you just how awesome he is. I'm going to give some of y'all this gift. I'm going to give some of y'all that gift. I'm going to give some of you guys this gift. I'm going to sprinkle out all these different gifts. And what I want you to do is to begin to discover what your gifts are, to seek me for what your gifts are, and to not be in competition. Because the thing that the First Corinthians is helping us understand is that some of the Corinthian believers believe, okay, I got this gift, so that means I'm better than you. I'm more spiritual than you. I speak in tongues, so I'm more spiritual than you. I preach, so I'm more spiritual than you. I have the gift of faith. And he's not talking about the faith of salvation or salvific type of faith, but he means this gift of faith to believe God for big, extraordinary things that intimidate other people. And some of the believers there were saying, because I got this gift, I'm better than you. With my nose down on you. You're just a peasant in the kingdom. I'm royalty. No, the Bible says, well, all of us are royal priests in the kingdom of God. All of us have gifts. And though some gifts may, quote unquote, get more attention than the other, just by nature of function, it does not mean that they're more important than the other. And some of the gifts that oftentimes cause so much disruption and so much division, which is why Paul would go to great lengths to begin to speak about in the next few chapters, are more of your sign or visual type of gifts. Gifts like speaking in tongues. And here's what Paul says, because there was like some dispute in the Corinthian church about people speaking in tongues. We talked about a few weeks ago how in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came and he enabled people in that setting to speak in tongues, but it was known languages in Acts chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians, you'll see Paul more than likely not just talking about known languages, but also heavenly languages. And so some of the Corinthian believers were under the thought process, everybody should be speaking in tongues. Or if the only people who are speaking in tongues are speaking in tongues, that means that they're more spiritual. And then Paul says this to rebuke that. When you jump down to verse 29, he says this: are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in other tongues? Do all interpret? And it's a rhetorical question. Here's what he's trying to help them understand. Does everybody have the same gift? No. So there's going to be some people who may speak in tongues. There may be some people who have the gift of interpretation of tongues. There may be some people who have this gift of preaching. There may be some people who have this gift of teaching. There may be some people who have the gift of leadership and gift of administration and gift here and gift there. Gifts everywhere, but the beauty of the body of Christ is that we're not all meant to have the same gift. Imagine if your whole body was just one body part. But God says, no, some of you guys are the ears. Paul says this in the next chapter, or later on in chapter 12. Some of you guys are the hands. Some of you guys are the feet. Some of you guys are the nose. Some of you guys may be the eye. Some of you guys may be the elbow. Everybody has a certain function. And every gift plays a role in the body. Every gift. So all of these, because they're given by God, are valuable to God. Everybody doesn't have the same gift. Please do not go around thinking you are more spiritual because you have a certain gift that others don't have. Some of you guys may have the gift of speaking in tongues. Please don't go around saying that you're more spiritual. Please don't go around thinking that you're more deep. I know people who have spoken tongues and cussed you out at the same time. And I'm not lying or exaggerating. That does not show your spirituality. You know what is the gauge for Christian spirituality in depth? Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, what we talked about last week. That's the marker. I don't care how gifted you are. If your character does not match that or exceed that, rather, your gifting lacks power. What's the point of being able to speak in tongue when you sit up here and gossip about somebody behind their back? No edification there. Paul is trying to help them understand here is everybody has different gifts. Then you have gifts like the gift of healing, which is another controversial one, because you have some people who believe that that healing does not take place anymore, that God does no longer, he no longer supernaturally heals people. And I am here to say that is so not true, nor is it not biblical. We see through Scripture people being healed, and I've seen with my very own eyes and have had stories talking with people who have been supernaturally healed in ways that doctors could not explain. And it may not happen the way that it may have happened in the book of Acts, but it does not mean that the power of God is quenched. But here's also the thing that you got to understand about healing, that gift. Every person that Jesus healed back in his day, they all died. You know that, right? Like, I'm not trying to pull a fast one on you. What does that help us understand? That physical healing is something we should pray for. Spiritual healing is the healing that we all are in need of. And God has promised to heal every single person. And that will be ultimately fulfilled in the new heaven and the new earth, where there will be no more dying, no more crying, no more sickness, no more pain. Well, do we pray for healing? Absolutely. Well, do we understand that God is sovereign? His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. And that he may not heal the person that we're praying for the way that we want. Sure. He knows more than we do. And so we put our hope not in the fact that he will heal. We put our hope in the fact that he is a healer and that he is good. All these gifts are gifts that we should begin to discover if God has given us, and you have a gift. God has specifically given you a spiritual gift. And let me help you understand something. If you don't discover what your gift is, you will always live a frustrated life. You will always feel like your life has no fulfillment because you are functioning in a way that God never intended for you to function. And so now you will begin to seek out other ways for fulfillment only to figure out and discover that they are just as empty as others. Until you come to the one who designed you and gifted you, you will always lack fulfillment. But when you come to the one who has created you and endowed you with supernatural ability, that is when you begin to experience fulfillment and joy and satisfaction and significance, which leads me to my next point, that it's not just enough for you to discover your gifts. But when you discover the gifts that God has given you, here's what you need to do. You need to deploy the gifts that God has given you. You need to use them. Tell the person beside you, use them. Some of you guys may come from an old school train of thought, even in church, where you may believe if you don't use the gifts, God will take them away. That's not biblical. Because the Bible says in the book of Romans that God gives gifts without repentance. Meaning this, he does not give you a gift and then take it away. You have been endowed supernaturally with his gifts. Now, what you may lack is the opportunities that you may have once had to function in that gift. Because it still comes back to stewardship, but you haven't lost it. It is a supernatural ability. It's different than a natural talent. Because I learned how to play the piano years ago. I do not remember anything about it now. It would sound like my two-year-old playing if I were to play it right now. But supernaturally, this eternal spiritual gift, you've been given it. And there's nothing that can be done to have it taken away. But it's on you to begin to deploy it, to use it. So here's what Paul says in verse 7. He says his words. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person. Why? For the common good. What is the common good? To build up the body of Christ, to serve others, to make a difference in the lives of other people. It is not enough for you just to know your gifts. You need to use them. Some of us don't know our gifts. You're starting at point one. I need to discover them. Some of us know our gifts, but we're not using them to advance the kingdom of God. Or we're not using them at all. And what Paul is trying to help the believers in Corinth to understand is that they're gifted and that there's a certain way to use their gifts. Why would he say for the common good? Because in the Corinthian church, people were using their gifts for all the wrong reasons, to serve themselves. He says, no. Look, God has given you these gifts, not for yourself, but to serve others. God has given me this calling and gifting to preach and teach his word. It is not for me alone. It is for me to share and to give to others. Here's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Just as each one, in case you think that everybody doesn't have a spiritual gift, Peter, Paul, everybody disputes that. Just as each one has received a gift, watch what he says next. Use it to serve others as, watch this, good stewards of the various grace of God. Meaning this, if you don't use your gifts, you are not stewarding them well. Using your gifts the way God intended is proper stewardship. Notice what Peter says next, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides. Why? So that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Paul tells Timothy this in 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God, the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Fan in the flame, Timothy, the gift that you've received from God. Use it. Tell the person beside you, use it. You got to deploy the gifts that God has given you. So let me kind of begin to crucify the consumer mentality that oftentimes creeps up into us as Christians and sometimes even to the church at large. Your perspective as a Christian is not to be who's caring for me and who's serving me. Your perspective as a Christian should be you asking, who am I caring for and who am I serving? I know I'm going to probably mess it up right here, but it's necessary. When we approach the church and we approach ministry saying, what can it do for me? You have already come at it with the wrong perspective. It is not meant for me to be a consumer of, but a contributor to. And we live in such a consumeristic mentality that we adopt that same mentality and not incorporate that into the kingdom. God says, no, my kingdom works in reverse. It's not about what you can get. Because here's the reality. You've already received everything that you need for life and godliness through your faith in me. Now it's a matter of contributing, of serving. Here's what Jesus says in Mark 10, 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve. How? By laying down his life on the cross for the sins of humanity. And as we follow him, you know what we're supposed to do? Serve others. It is a joy and a privilege to be able to get up here and preach every week. It is a joy and a privilege to be able to be a blessing to somebody in lead or just randomly that I don't even know. It is a joy and a privilege to be able to give encouraging words to somebody. It is a joy and a privilege. Why? Because it's a joy and privilege to be in a relationship with God. And my relationship with God now fuels what I do for God. And so when you realize that you've received a gift you don't deserve, it compels you to want to share it with other people. I want to deploy it. I want to use the gifts that God has given me. We have been created and called by God to help people get connected to God. You are called to, by God to use the gifts that God has given you to point people to Jesus, to tell people about his love. You have been gifted by God to use the gifts that God has given you to advance his kingdom. How do we do that? One of the biggest ways that we do that first is we serve in and through our local church. Some of you, be honestly, have gifts, but you're not serving within his church. That's a problem. Why do we know that's a problem? Who was Paul writing this letter to? Churches. Use your gift to serve one another. In other words, don't just come sit on a Sunday and not be on a team serving people. But receive what God has given you and now serve. And if you're a member of the Bridge Church or if you come to the Bridge Church, you're going to be very uncomfortable week after week because you're going to hear this a lot. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God convicts you in such of a way where he now begins to move you to a place of being stagnant, now being dynamic. Where you move from a place of being the frozen chosen to actually doing something with what he's given you. Where you say, my life is not my own. The Jesus that I worship laid down his life on the cross for me, and I did not deserve it. He served me. The least that I can do is fulfill the same calling and serve other people as he has served me. To make a difference. To serve people. But we don't just serve in and through our local church. But we also serve throughout our community for the same purpose, to point people to Jesus. So we serve when we're on our jobs. We serve when we're at our homes. We serve our family members. We serve our spouses. We serve our children. We serve our neighbors. We serve our coworkers. We serve in our community. This is why Serve Day, July 13th, is so important for you to be at. If you had plans to go out of town, cancel them. Be here that day. It's only usually like one day a year where I like buck as a pastor and say, you need to be here. That's the day. But pastor, I had flight arrangements. Cancel them. Let God provide. Pray to him about that. We serve in a plethora of ways to advance the kingdom. Some of you all are gifted to serve. God has given you these spiritual gifts that he wants to employ in the workforce, that he wants to employ in the medical field, that he wants to employ in the courtroom. He's gifted you. And we need more kingdom-minded, Christ-centered, spiritually gifted people in all realms of life. We need spiritually gifted people at the cashier. We need spiritually gifted people at the courthouse. We need spiritually gifted people at McDonald's, at Chick-fil-A, at the hospitals. We need spiritually gifted people in every sphere of life. I don't know if you guys have seen that documentary on Netflix, When They See Us. If you haven't, I would encourage you to go check it out. But the thing that was most grieving to me that I began to ask God about is, Lord, what would have happened? Those boys, we would have had some Christ-centered, godly lawyers gifted by you serving in that capacity. Wonder if the outcome would have been different. God has supernaturally given you spiritual gifts. And he says, stop sitting on them. Use them. Do something with them. Make a difference. Because there's too many lives at stake. There's people who don't know me. There's people who are hurting. There's people who are broken. And as long as the body of Christ sits on their hands and has their hands folded behind their back doing nothing, then evil will continue to spread. But when the kingdom of God stands up and says, I was made for this to make a difference in my community, in my family, then we will see lives changed. Use the gifts that God has given you. Why? Because the gifts that God gave you were meant to be shared, not suppressed. And some of you in here have been gifted in crazy ways, unbelievable ways, in ways that we have not even seen anybody function yet, and you are sitting on them, and God today brought me here to tell you it's time for you to get in the game. This is why I'm so grateful for our B team, because our B team is filled with people who are gifted by God, who have discovered their gifts, but now are deploying them in so many different ways. If you've seen people walking around our church building on Sundays or maybe in public and they've been wearing a shirt that says, I was made for this, it was being for this purpose. I was made to make a difference eternally in the lives of other people. And if you want a shirt, you can get a shirt. Join the team. Simple. Make a difference. Don't expect to get a shirt if you ain't serving on the team. You want all the perks of the team, but don't want to serve on the team. God says, no, that's not how it works. I want you to make a difference because you were made for this. I'm going to close with this thought. You were made to experience the joy of Jesus, but to also make a difference and an impact for Jesus. Paul is telling the Corinthian believers here, guys, God has created you to point people to him. You do that by using your gifts. And we appreciate this person's being gifted over here. And we appreciate this person's giftedness. And when we work together for the common good, the gates of hell will not prevail. And some of us in here, you've been using certain gifts for a certain season, and you thought that that was the end of the gifts that you have. I believe that there are some gifts that God has placed on the inside of you that you have yet to discover yet, that you have yet to receive or yet to understand fully. I want you to understand that God is not just satisfied with you staying and functioning where you are. Some of you guys may even be serving on a team in our church, and you think that the total epitome of your service and your activity is to stay on that team and to serve in the same capacity. I want you to understand something. God wants to take you from glory to glory.